This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And we got a huge never mind from the U.S. Supreme Court today in a majority decision affirming the Affordable Care Act. And President Obama was pretty happy about it.
The Affordable Care Act is here to stay. This morning, the court upheld a critical part of this law, the part that's made it easier for Americans to afford health insurance regardless of where you live. If the partisan challenge to this law had succeeded, millions of Americans would have had thousands of dollars worth of tax credits taken from them. For many, insurance would have become unaffordable again. Many would have become uninsured again. Ultimately, everyone's premiums could have gone up. America would have gone backwards. And that's not what we do. That's not what America does. We move forward. So today is a victory for hardworking Americans all across this country whose lives will continue to become more secure in a changing economy because of this law.
While there was considerable concern that the court might have agreed to strike down federal insurance subsidies for millions of Americans, in the end, a technical ambiguity in the language of the Affordable Care Act was not seen as a reason for doing something that healthcare economists said would have been catastrophic. But Republican leaders are not deterred. Challenges to the ACA will go on. Perhaps not so much in court.
It's raising costs for American families. It's raising costs for small businesses. And it's just fundamentally broken. And we're going to continue our efforts to do everything we can to put the American people back in charge of their own health care and not the federal government.
Speaker of the House John Boehner speaking today. It was the judge who was most noticeably quiet on the Supreme Court, asking only a single question during oral arguments, who wrote the majority. And that was Chief Justice John Roberts. So nothing will change in the Affordable Care Act, and the millions of Americans who were wondering if there could even be a Plan B here can now have confidence that their benefits will continue. But another big case today affirmed a provision of the Fair Housing Act that broadens the scope of legal redress for alleged victims of discrimination in housing. And that could have wider implications, although those aren't clear at this moment. On the line with us is Eric Citron, a partner at Goldstein & Russell, a leading Supreme Court firm and a specialist in appellate practice. He's a former clerk to Justices Sandra Day O'Connor and Elena Kagan, and a guest contributor to the SCOTUS blog. And Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, also joins us. Todd, this is a great sigh of relief for the GOP. They didn't want the ACA in this pre-election period to go down and all those millions of subsidies to stop, right?
There's a lot of split emotions among Republicans right now, John. Maybe a sigh of relief behind the scenes. In front of the scenes, not at all, because Republicans have been rolling out alternatives and promising new alternatives if the court had ruled the other way and struck down federal subsidies for 6.4 million people in those 37 states that we've talked about so many times. But behind the scenes, you're right. Maybe a sigh of relief because of the difficult, if not impossible, politics of reaching a consensus on health care for all of the people who would have lost their subsidies, and finding a way not only that the House and Senate could pass, get Republicans to agree on, but that the president would sign. And all of that seemed almost impossible, leading Republicans behind the scenes to a conclusion that they might ironically be held partly responsible for people losing their insurance right before an election. They don't have that to worry about, but now they're stuck for a longer period of time with the reality of Obamacare, which they've railed against for so many years.
Eric Citron, there was no noise in oral arguments from Chief Justice John Roberts. He wrote the majority today, but boy, there was a lot of questions from Justice Scalia during oral arguments and a huge amount of noise in his dissent today. What do you make of the dissent and the opinion in general on the ACA?
Well, it's a very strongly worded dissent. I think Justice Scalia has a lot of ammunition in terms of reading the statute in its sort of plainest way, although I think the majority does a very careful job of pushing back based on its view of what Congress must have intended. I think Chief Justice Roberts' clearest line is something like, Congress enacted the Affordable Care Act to fix healthcare markets, not destroy them, and it was widely perceived that that would be the result of reading the statute as the challengers had advocated.
But Scalia says, call this act SCOTUS care from now on. He described what the court did as interpretive jiggery-pokery. It seems like on some level he's more exasperated with Congress in creating these kinds of problems for the court to have to deal with, correcting the penmanship, in a sense, of Congress itself.
There's no doubt about that. I think Justice Scalia has on multiple occasions, including in the previous round of litigation about the ACCA, voiced his exasperation with the statute and with Congress's decisions. But, you know, it's one of these things where justices get more exasperated about the laws that they don't particularly like. The truth is that there's a lot of draftsmanship in a lot of congressional legislation, and it is, at the end of the day, the job of the courts to figure out what Congress meant to achieve.
And certainly there's no change in the sense that people who are against the Affordable Care Act are not convinced by this decision. Those challenges will continue, at least in the political arena. Todd Zwillick, the Fair Housing Act decision really opens a whole new set of possible challenges on discrimination in public housing all over the United States. So what do you make of that?
Well, actually, you heard surprisingly little reaction from members of Congress. There have been several hearings lately on the meaning of the Fair Housing Act and the discrimination clauses that the court ruled on today. Members of Congress are keyed into it, but they don't think the public is. You haven't seen a whole lot of reaction on that important decision today. People are latched on to Obamacare, of course, because that's where their politics lie and where they think the public is, of course, and on the gay marriage ruling, which is coming up tomorrow or Monday.
And Eric, this case on fair housing has actually come up twice in the past, but the cases in question were settled before they got to the court or before the court could actually decide this. There was some sense that the conservative wing of the court was really looking to reverse the Fair Housing Act here, but it didn't happen that way.
Yes, that's right. I mean, I should say the prevailing regime is the one that the court left in place. Most courts prior to this decision did allow these disparate impact claims. And civil rights groups were very concerned that when the court went and granted these cases in the past, it had in mind to end those claims. And so in order to keep the claims alive, they dismissed their own cases so the Supreme Court couldn't hear them. They thought the writing was on the wall, and this was a surprising victory for the court's liberal wing today.
Let's step back a bit. This says that the court agrees that claims against the Fair Housing or claims against discrimination under the Fair Housing Act can be made even if there are challenges to laws that don't specifically target particular groups, that if there's a generalized impact of discrimination, a lawsuit can still be brought. Is that right?
That's exactly right. So the dispute is basically something like the following. The Fair Housing Act, which is arose in the 1960s, says that you cannot enact discriminatory housing policies. And the question is, do you have to prove that the legislature or the policymakers wanted to achieve something good for one race and bad for another, or wanted to discriminate against a particular group of citizens, or is it enough that it had that disparate effect in order for you to claim that the policy needs to change? And there's very strong evidence that Congress, including in amendments to the act, wanted to preserve the claim that a disparate impact on different races was enough. And that's what the court decided today, that you could proceed on a disparate impact claim without proving intentional discrimination.
All right. Well, that could mean some very serious issues segregation in housing all across America could eventually be before the court based on this decision that isn't getting a lot of attention today. But Todd Zwillick, ACA, the court seems to want to put the Affordable Care Act behind it. Does Congress?
Well, Republicans certainly don't. And what was remarkable in all of the immediate sort of pre-written reaction that you saw just across the lawn in the House and the Senate after today's subsidy ruling was that Republicans rhetorically at least say they're not giving up at all. Senator Mitch McConnell, the Senate Majority Leader, took to the floor, John, just moments after the decision was rendered and said that all this decision does, and I'm quoting him here, is prolongs the rolling disaster of Obama. He said that supporters of Obamacare can crow about the latest wobble toward the edge, or they can join us in repealing this disaster and replacing it. Speaker John Boehner released a similar statement saying that this decision does nothing to undo the disaster of Obamacare, promised that Republicans would continue efforts to repeal it, and to replace it after the 50 or so votes that we're aware Congress, the Republican House at least, has taken to repeal Obamacare, and after these two decisions on subsidies and on the individual mandate. So if Republicans are going to stand by what they're saying now in reaction, that means this goes to the election. And you see also a lot of strong statements in opposition from Republican presidential candidates, from Jeb Bush, from Rand Paul, so far from several other candidates. Lindsey Graham, who's a candidate, took to the Senate floor to attack Obamacare. So Republicans see this yet again as going to the next election, John.
All right. They can say anything they want now, but they'll have to calculate exactly how many people will be affected if they actually repeal Obamacare. And that number really seems to rise with every passing month. Something to be revisited, that's for sure. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, thanks so much.
You got it, John.
And Eric Citron, one last question for you. The Supreme Court has really turned the end of June into a kind of gay rights festival. There are so many decisions and anniversaries that now fall in this last week of June, and there's going to be another one maybe tomorrow.
There's been a lot of speculation, especially from our commenters on the blog today, that the Supreme Court means to release its gay marriage decision tomorrow because it happens to be the anniversary of its two previous major gay rights decisions. I think what's really going on is that these are big controversial cases that take all term to get decided and written, so they just happen to come out at the end of June. And the coincidence could well continue tomorrow, or it may be Monday, which is, we think, the official last day of the term.
Well, whatever happens on the gay marriage decision, it won't be a never mind like the decision in Burwell. Eric Citron is a partner at Goldstein & Russell, a leading Supreme Court firm and specialist in appellate practice. He's a former clerk to Justices Sandra Day O'Connor and Elena Kagan, commenting on the Burwell case. The ACA is status quo, as usual. Eric, thanks so much.
Thank you.
ACA is here to stay. ACA is here to stay. ACA is here to stay.
Some ACA supporters as happy as the president from outside the courthouse, thanks to reporter Todd Zwillick. What do you think of the rulings? Are you a quiet yes, like Chief Justice Roberts, or a noisy Scalia dissenter? Mike Chavez on Twitter writes, yes, for all Americans, health care no longer means bankruptcy. Jeb Bush, I'm disappointed by today's ruling in King v. Burwell, but this decision is not the end of the fight against Obamacare.
Hi, this is Pat in Fort Worth calling about the Affordable Care Act decision. I'm glad. My husband is also glad. He's a medical school student. He supports it. He's seen it working. And if the Republicans think that it's not working the way that they think it should be, they should work to help and not roadblock. So I'm glad the Supreme Court made the right decision, and hopefully we can move forward and tweak whatever needs tweaking and support all Americans who need care.
Hi, this is Patty Gandolfini. I'm from New Jersey, of course. I've had an Obamacare, I love Obamacare sticker on my car since 2012. Yay, yippee.
Patty's on board there from New Jersey. C. Noble writes on Twitter, I do not, since I get no subsidies and continue to pay higher insurance rates than I did for my family before the law was passed. Keep the conversation going. Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE or tweet us at The Takeaway. You can comment at facebook.com/TheTakeaway.
NYC Now delivers breaking news, top headlines, and in-depth coverage from WNYC and Gothamist every morning, midday, and evening. By sponsoring our programming, you'll reach a community of passionate listeners in an uncluttered audio experience. Visit sponsorship.wnyc.org to learn more.